Niemer nodded graciously at the chairman's introductory praise and winked at Strauss in the triumph of the moment. The first speaker from Beekman was Professor Klinger. I was becoming irritated, and I could see that Algernon, upset by the smoke, the buzzing, the unaccustomed surroundings, was moving around in his cage nervously. I had the strangest compulsion to open his cage and let him out. It was an absurd thought, more of an itch than a thought, and I tried to ignore it. But as I listened to Professor Klinger's stereotyped paper on the effects of left-handed goal boxes in a tea maze versus right-handed goal boxes in a tea maze, I found myself toying with the release lock mechanism of Algernon's cage. In a short while, before Strauss and Niemer would unveil their crowning achievement, Bert would read a paper describing the procedures and results of administering intelligence and learning tests he had devised for Algernon. This would be followed by a demonstration, as Algernon was put through his paces of solving a problem in order to get his meal, something I have never stopped resenting. Not that I had anything against Bert. He had always been straightforward with me, more so than most of the others. But when he described the white mouse who had been given intelligence, he was as pompous and artificial as the others, as if he were trying on the mantle of his teachers. I restrained myself at that point, more out of friendship for Bert than anything else. Letting Algernon out of his cage would throw the meeting into chaos, and after all, this was Bert's debut into the rat race of academic preferment. I had my finger on the cage door release, and as Algernon watched the movement of my hand with his pink candy eyes, I'm certain he knew what I had in mind. At that moment, Bert took the cage for his demonstration. He explained the complexity of the shifting lock and the problem-solving required each time the lock was to be opened. Thin plastic bolts fell into place in varying patterns and had to be controlled by the mouse, who depressed a series of levers in the same order. As Algernon's intelligence increased, his problem-solving speed increased. That much was obvious. But then Bert revealed one thing I had not known. At the peak of his intelligence, Algernon's performance had become variable. There were times, according to Bert's report, when Algernon refused to work at all, even when apparently hungry, and other times when he would solve the problem, but instead of taking his food reward, would hurl himself against the walls of his cage. When someone from the audience asked Bert if he was suggesting that this erratic behavior was directly caused by increased intelligence, Bert ducked the question. "As far as I'm concerned," he said, "there's not enough evidence to warrant that conclusion. There are other possibilities. It is possible that both the increased intelligence and the erratic behavior at this level were created by the original surgery, instead of one being a function of the other. It's also possible that this erratic behavior is unique to Algernon. We didn't find it in any of the other mice, but then none of the others achieved as high a level of intelligence nor maintained it for as long as Algernon has."